2020 was to improve our missions support and our missions work. We partly fulfilled that. We financially have been able to support more missionaries, more missions works right across from Cuba, Rwanda, South Africa and Romania, where we have strong links. So praise God for that. And I want to thank everybody for all the help that they've given in renovating upstairs the office. We are nearly there. It has been a challenge with what we're trying to get materials and all those sort of things, and the bits of lockdown that we've had to endure. We had plans for a new kitchen and new toilets. They got put on hold, but they're still there to do and to move forward to. And even we've had hindrances because, really, you know, I wanted to see this year be a year of tremendous prayer and encouragement. We've been out praying on the streets at different times. The Lord's allowed us to do that. Just let me move this for a moment so that they're not blind. And we've done some of that. The work in the community has been restricted, but we're still here.
Amen.
The Lord did not give us the building just to renovate it. He gave us it that He would fill it with people who are in need for Jesus. Amen. And that is going to happen. It's been happening. We've seen an increase. People are not here. There are people who are promising to come. I even had this week somebody who I have not yet met. They've engaged with me through Facebook, the church Facebook page, and they even said they were going to try and come this Sunday, and they live in the area. They've not arrived, but that's okay. We just continue to pray that God will do a work, and we've been communicating since sometime like June or July this year. So, God's at work,
yeah.
You know, and they can listen online or they can listen to the services on the internet as we leave them on our website. And the other thing that I'd got a desire to do was to, where Timothy is encouraged to say, by the Paul to say, study to show yourself approved.
Amen.
And we want to put together study classes and time together where we can empower the people, where we can equip the people, as in Ephesians 4 verse 12, our ministry and leadership is to equip the saints for their work in the ministry.
Amen.
Who's a saint?
Me.
Hallelujah. You need equipping.
Yeah.
We all need equipping. Even I am still learning. Often I pick my Bible up and I suddenly see something that I've not really seen before. There's another facet of this, for want of a better word, this diamond of the Word of God. And as you turn a diamond with many cuts, you see different lights reflected through it, don't you?
Yeah.
And when you begin to look at the Word of God and allow the Holy Spirit to just begin to turn it, you see different depths and colours and facets that the Lord has hidden from the natural eye that can only be seen by the Spirit. Hallelujah. Thank God that we are spirit beings.
Yeah.
First.
Yeah.
Remember that.
Yeah.
You might say, oh, well, I've got a few aches and pains. Yeah, but you're still spirit first.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. The Word tells us that we are the healed. And James encourages us in James chapter 2 and verse 18 that by the faith, that he will show you his faith by the works.
Amen.
And Paul says the same thing. So we need to have works.
Amen.
Hallelujah. God is preparing you for works of service. Not to just sit around and sit in comfortable chairs and think everything's okay. No. That's just the equipping station so so that you go out and you touch the lives of men and women and you introduce them to the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. We were going to raise the platform. That's another job for 2021. Praise God. And improvements to the heating system. We've been working towards it, developments there also. The youth work. Again. And the schools work. All being put on hold. But guess what? God knows. And God wants you and I to continue to press forward and to reach into the hearts and lives of men and women in this area and in the areas where we live. So, there are still some things to go for. Hallelujah. And Jesus will equip us and Jesus will encourage us and the Word of God will set us in a pathway for victory in Christ Jesus. Amen. Do you believe that? Praise the Lord. Good. So, we've still got things to do from 2020. Praise God. So, there's something in 2021 and more beyond all of that. So, bless the Lord for His goodness. We had potentially two mission trips planned. No, three mission trips planned. And all of those got stopped. So, 2021. Let them be resurrected.
Amen.
And see where the Lord takes us. And remember, the angels said to the shepherds, what did they say? Fear not. Fear not. We bring you good tidings of great joy. Hallelujah. Praise God. The Savior is born. Hallelujah. Our healer, our deliverer, the one who will set captives free. And I just want to continue looking at the beginning of the life of the wonderful Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, Emmanuel, God with us. Amen. And I have entitled the message today, The Child Grew. Isn't that wonderful? The Child Grew. Hallelujah. So if you turn with me to Matthew chapter 2 and verses 19 through to 23. Chapter 2 of Matthew and starting at verse 19. 2:23. But when Herod was dead, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt, saying, Arise, and take the child and his mother, and go into the land of Israel, for those who sought the child's life are dead. And he arose and he took the child and his mother and came into the land of Israel. But when he heard that Archelaus was reigning over Judea in place of his father Herod, he was afraid to go there. And being warned of God in a dream, he departed for the regions of Galilee and came and resided in a city called Nazareth. That was spoken through the prophets might be fulfilled. He shall be called a Nazarene. Hallelujah. Praise His wonderful name. It's amazing, isn't it, that the angel again appears to Joseph. This man who had taken on the responsibility of a woman who was already with child. It was a situation that was not well thought of in those days. She could have been stoned to death. And yet the angel spoke to him and said, everything's fine. This will be the Savior. Take her to be your wife. And here Joseph faithfully takes her and looks after and cares for her. And we know we've gone through the story of the nativity scene. But now we've moved on. We've moved on a couple of years just over. More than that, in fact. We're not sure how long Joseph and Mary were in Egypt. They could have been there anywhere between a few months to a year or so. But we do know it wasn't a long period of time, because the death, when you look at history, the death of Herod was somewhere around about AD 4. We're not sure where the birth of Jesus was about AD 2. You know, the calendar's a little bit fudgy. But we know it wasn't a long time. But we know for a fact, even when it says in verse 20 of Matthew, it says, "Arise and take the child." It doesn't say baby, does it? It says, "Take the child." And as we know, as I shared with you last week, that the wise men came when Jesus would be anywhere between 18 months and the age of 2 years. That's why Herod said any child around the age of 2, kill it. 2 and less, kill it. And so we find there that as the child Jesus is being brought out of Egypt, this is to fulfill a prophecy as well that was way back in the Old Testament, that out of Egypt, it says, "I will call my son." Hallelujah. You see, God's already gone before all these things that are happening. He's already planned 6 to 1,000 years in front. 600 to 1,000 years, He's already planned it. You see, He's already planned your life, Barry. You know, we think, oh, you know, nobody cares, nobody's interested in me. But guess what? God has already planned it.
Amen.
We've just got to tune in. We've just got to listen to what God's saying to us. We've just got to appreciate that God does care for us, and that His eye is constantly and always upon each and every one of us. Hallelujah. Well, I just find that incredible. That this God who created the universe can have such a... He says, well, He even knows the hairs on your head. You had a shower this morning and you lost a few. You know, you washed your hair, you had a shower and you lost a few. Sorry, Barry, you know. Maybe I lost more than you know. But you did. And God knows. You see, that's how much He cares for each and every one of us. That's how much He's interested in you as an individual. So don't get into your pity parties and think nobody really cares, because God does care. The devil wants you to be in that situation where you are feeling sorry for yourself, where you're feeling afraid, because fear will control you. Fear will stop you doing what God wants you to do. It's a trick of the devil. You see, fear uses your power. Fear uses your energy to stop you doing anything. Faith creates energy. Faith creates power to do the work of God. See, without faith, it's impossible to please God, the Bible says. And so we need faith. And what does that faith do? That faith strengthens us. That faith encourages us. That faith builds us up. That faith makes us strong to be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. And so for each and every one of us, when we became born again of the Spirit of God, this title of today's message means, "And the child grew up." So when we became born of the Spirit of God, we were children in the Spirit. But God does not want you to stay as a child spiritually. He wants you to grow up spiritually. Just as Jesus, so He also grew up. Both physically and spiritually. So it's important to remember that just because we gave our lives to Christ, it doesn't stop there. That is just the beginning. Hallelujah. It's not the end. Because do you know something? Because we have given our lives to Christ, there is now no end. Think about that for a moment. Just catch that one. Just because you've given your life to Christ, now there's no end. I'm going to go on and on and on and on. Some folks say, yeah, he does go on and on and on. Well, I'm going to go on and on and on because God has allowed it for us because of that new birth in us. We were once dead, it says, in trespasses and sin, but we came to Christ and we were made alive, and we were made alive in the Spirit for eternity.
Amen.
Hallelujah, to be eternally in the presence of Almighty God.
Amen.
Whoa, glory to Jesus. You know, that makes me excited.
Amen.
That Father God never turns us away. Never turns us away. Even when we slip and fall, He's looking for us. He's reaching down towards each and every one of us. Because God is love. That's why we put it up there. To remind people that who God really is. God is love. His love is not just because we do good things. His love is not there just because we behave nicely. His love is there because He is love. He's not trying to love you. His very fabric, His very being is love. That's amazing. Praise His wonderful name. Let's just start turning to Luke chapter 2 and verse 37. Luke chapter 2 and verse 37. I just want to back up a little bit into where Jesus was brought to the temple a few days later to be circumcised, to be offered unto God, and a sacrifice offered for Him. Verse 36, in fact, we'll look at. And there was a prophetess, Anna, the daughter of Phanuel, of the tribe of Asher. She was advanced in years, having lived with her husband 7 years after her marriage, and then as a widow to the age of 84. And she never left the temple, serving night and day with fastings and prayer. I looked at that and I suddenly realized that she wasn't 84. She'd been a widow for 84 years. And let's say she got married at 16 or 20. And then there's another 7 years. So she was at least 100 years old. At least 100 years. Serving God. We've still got some years to go. Haven't we? We've still got some years. The Bible says with long life, I will satisfy you. Well, that's grace for me anyway.
Yeah.
With long life. I will satisfy you. Praise God. Do you know something? I'm not satisfied yet. I'm wanting more. I'm wanting more of God. I'm wanting more of His presence and more of His power. I'm wanting to see more of the precious anointing of God. And I've seen more of it over the years. And I'm hungering and thirsting for that refreshing and that invigorating touch and the presence of the power of a holy God be made manifest amongst these people.
Yeah.
God wants to make Himself present amongst these people.
Yeah.
And so we need to press in to believe God and see God for great things happening, because we are to grow up in the Word. We are to grow up in the Spirit of God. We're coming to the end of 2020.
Yes.
We're moving into 2021. What will it, does it hold for us? God knows. It holds for us the moving into the presence of God Almighty. It means that as the world is in a difficult situation, heaven has not changed. God has not changed. This has not taken God by surprise. Hallelujah. And God has given to His church, to every believer, everything that they have need of. We've just got to pull it down. We've just got to take hold of it and pull it down. We've just got to believe for it. We've just got to stand on the promises of God. Yeah, but it's not easy, Andrew. I didn't say it was easy. Nothing that's worthwhile ever comes easy. Our salvation, our eternal life did not come easy. Jesus gave everything. He was whipped and bruised and marred beyond all recognition. You and I might have that eternal life. That you and I might have restored fellowship with the Creator of all things. That's why He came, to restore back.
Yes.
To reconnect you and I with Father God.
Yes.
So that we can have conversations with Father God, just like Adam and Eve did in the Garden of Eden. You see, everything that has been done so far has been so that God will restore Eden back into our lives. When God looked at the world, when He finished, He said everything was good. In fact, it was very good. God wants to be able to look into our lives and into the lives of men and women that we touch and say it is good, it is very good. Restoring the relationship, restoring the presence of a living God into the lives of individuals, that God might touch and God might speak, and that the world would come back to Christ. Might seem that it seems to be drifting further and further away, but you know, as it gets darker, it says the light of God will shine, and it will shine brighter and brighter. Grace and I, we were taken down a I think it was a magnesium mine. Zinc or magnesium? We were in Tennessee. And when I say a mine, I mean the roadway was as wide as this building. They had these great big, massive, you know, the wheels of the diggers and the trucks were bigger than me. They were 10 foot, 12 foot tall, the wheels of these things. And, you know, the roof was at least as high as this roof sort of thing, and we were down with the manager of the mine, and all the lights were on. He said, I'm going to show you what real darkness is like. Flicked all the lights off, and we stood there in darkness, and it felt like it was tangible. It was so dark, and then you just put one light on. The darkness began to flee.
Amen.
When we let that light of ours shine, reminds me of that chorus, this little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. Let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. That's what we're here for, to shine for Jesus. Ah, but you don't know my problems. You don't know my difficulties. No, you're right, I don't. But Jesus does. And Jesus has made provision. God has made provision for every challenge and every difficulty that you and I will have to face. Hallelujah. He is determined that you will come out in victory. Do you know why I know that? Because God never invested in failures. So God's intention is for you and I to come out in victory, to come out in strength, to come out in His fullness, to come out just like Jesus. When the disciples, when the Mary and the disciples were told, He is not here. He is risen. He rose up in victory. He conquered sin. He conquered death. And He rose victorious. And He's seated at the right hand of the Father God. Hallelujah. This is what our victory is. This is in whom we live and have our being. This is our Christ. And Christ wants to live through us. And when the Word is flowing in us and the Word is moving in us, it is forming that Christ. And when the devil looks at you and says, oh, not another Jesus. I thought I'd handled all of them, but there's another one. And you get up on a morning and you say, praise the Lord, and the devil goes, oh no, there's another one got up.
Praise God.
Got up in victory.
Amen.
I'm in for another beating. The Word says, bruise his head, crush his head. Underneath your feet. Don't let him pull you down. You stand on him and grind his head into the ground. See, the devil was told he would eat dust. Right? Now, most of you read that and think, well, he's eating the dust of the ground, isn't he? No. Just listen. What was Adam made from? What was Adam made from? Dust. Satan's desire is to heat humanity. The dust of the ground. But thank God we're spirit beings. And that spirit will crush Satan's head underneath our feet. Right? But Satan wants to try and devour you. That's the dust he's after. That's the dust he's after. But praise God. I read the end of the book. It says, we have the victory.
Amen.
It says that we are the victorious ones. It says that Christ is victorious and we are in Christ and Christ is in us. Therefore, we are victorious. Simple.
Yeah.
The gospel is not difficult.
No.
Intellects find it difficult because they cannot see beyond the pages. They don't see the depth and the facets that are there, that are hidden. You see, this Word is written as a mystery and can only be revealed by the Spirit. And when the Spirit reveals the mystery of the Word, then suddenly a light appears in our lives, something new, something just brings life to us and quickens this mortal body. Hallelujah. Try and get back to the Word, shall we? Let's go back to Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2 and verse 39. And when they had performed everything according to the law, they returned to Galilee to their own city in Nazareth. And the child continued to grow and become strong, increasing in wisdom and in the grace of God was upon him. Increasing in wisdom. That's for us. We need to be increasing in wisdom, godly wisdom, in the power of the Spirit. Even Jesus is that young boy in the flesh. God was imparting into him wisdom as he grew. And to you and to I, God wants to impart to us wisdom. Verse 41, and his parents used to go to Jerusalem every year at the Feast of Passover. It wasn't just them that went, just about the whole village would pack everything up and they would journey together to Jerusalem. We've been to Jerusalem at Passover. There ain't no room in Jerusalem at Passover. There are people from every place now in the world. Every hotel is fully booked. We know. We arrived in Jerusalem with only 3 nights booked and we were staying 10. After the 3rd night, there was nowhere to stay for Grace and Andrew. But God made provision for us. Sent an angel. Gave us accommodation. And we were never able to contact that person ever again. We stayed with him for 10 nights, I believe it was. Was it 10? Never been able to get in contact with him since. We even sent somebody out a few months later who was going out there to knock on his door and give him a gift of thank you. And the persons were told, there's nobody ever lived here called Joel. And yet they'd picked us up from that very address for 10 days. These people that were out there, because they were out on their second trip, weren't they? Who did I stay with? Joel, he said. Who was he? He said he was a student. Who was he really? I'll leave you to work that one out for yourself. And so they would travel together into Jerusalem. Verse 42, and when he became 12, they went up there according to the custom of the feast. And as they were returning after spending the full number of days, the boy Jesus stayed behind in Jerusalem. And his parents were unaware of it, but supposed him to be in the caravan. See, the village. Everybody's there, you know, they're all going home together. And they went a day's journey and began to look for him among their relatives and acquaintances. Can you imagine a 12-year-old boy with all his friends and that? Oh, he'd be at so-and-so's, won't he? He'd be with them, they'd be playing around and he'd be all right. And he'll have got food from sister whoever and they'll be looking after him. He'll have had his tea there, he'll have had his dinner there, you know, and not come home, he's fine. And then they suddenly got concerned, where is he? He's not here. Oh dear. Their charge has gone missing. Verse 44 says, but supposing him to be in the caravan, they went a day's journey and began looking for him amongst the relatives and acquaintances. And when they did not find him, they returned to Jerusalem looking for him. Where would you start looking for a 12-year-old boy in Jerusalem? And it came about that after 3 days, can you imagine the state that Mary must have been in after 3 days of walking the streets of Jerusalem, knowing who this child was? You know, not just a child that you bore, but the Son of God. And he's missing. He's missing. She must have been tearing her hair out, praying and wondering where he was. The father, Joseph, his stepfather, as you might be called, he's the same, wondering, you know, I'm responsible for this child. He says, after 3 days they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the teachers, the wise men, the ones who've been educated in the things of the Word of God. and both they were listening to both listening to them and asking them questions. And all who heard were amazed at his understanding and his answers. And when they saw him, they were astonished. And his mother said to him, "Son, why have you treated us this way? Behold, your father and I have been anxiously looking for you." And he said to them, "Why is it that you were looking for me? Did you not know that I would be about my father's house?" You know, one translation says, "about my father's business." See, Mary says, "Look, your father and I." He says, "Yeah, but I'm about my father's business. Father God." You see, at 12 he knew who he was. At 12, he knew his calling. At 12, he's already beginning to reach into the things of the Spirit. And verse 50 says, "And they did not understand the statement which he had made to them." I guess they were so stressed out by everything at that time, and 12 years had gone by, and maybe they'd forgotten a little bit of some of the things that had gone on. We can do that, can't we? We can forget. Just recently, I've changing computers and got a load of information I need to transfer across. It's a nightmare, honestly. It really is. But then again, it gives you an opportunity to clear out all the junk. And one of the things that over the last couple of years we've got hundreds of tapes, ministry tapes that we've created over the years in ministry. There's a pile back upstairs in one of those cupboards, and I made a decision that one of our wardrobes is, there's a shelf full of tapes. So I thought, right, I'm going to copy them and put them onto disc, basically. Take up a lot less space. And whilst I've been doing this, I found four prophecies that were given to Grace and I whilst we were at different times in the USA. And whilst I was copying them, I began to listen to them. And I began to see things there that God had promised me that are still not yet come to pass. So guess what? I'm going to be around for a while. Hallelujah. Because there are words and promises that God has given to us that have not yet been fulfilled. And that we have not been able to yet fulfill in God. There are things that have come to pass. This building was one of them. The prophecy that was given to us now over 26 years ago that we would have a building. I re-listened to that, and there were other things in that prophecy that I'd forgotten about. Wonderful to have it on record. And so we're able to re-listen and just say, yeah, okay. And at that same time, we can bring our focus again onto the things of the kingdom of God, and that we will see that God's promises fulfilled in our lives, through our lives, and for our lives. You see, God has given to each and every one of you promises, and some of you have forgotten. We need to remind ourselves, we need to write these things down, and that's why we record everything. So that if God speaks to somebody as an individual, you can take that off, and you can take that and you can pray over it and pray into it and allow it to minister again into your spirit until it becomes you. That God will do a work through and in you for His praise and for His glory. You have been saved for service. You're not being saved to sit. Hallelujah. You are saved to serve the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. You are saved to do signs, wonders, and miracles. You know, we're going to close 2020 with on a high. That you are saved for signs, wonders, and miracles. God has not finished with you yet. It's just beginning. It's just beginning. Amen. The church is asleep. Yes. The church is having entertainment.
Yeah.
I don't want to entertain you. I want to stir you.
Yeah.
I bought comfortable chairs. Probably should have stuck with the old wooden ones and then you'd not be as comfortable, but it's nice to have comfortable chairs. You can listen easier. But I want to stir you that so you become uncomfortable in the Spirit. So that you become uncomfortable with the things around you and you are stirred in the Spirit to do the work of the kingdom of God. You say, well, who am I? You're a son and daughter of the living God. You're a child of the King. You belong to Him and His power can flow through you. All we need to do is... I just think of that wonderful song that was sung so many times in the Billy Graham Crusades. All to Jesus I surrender. All to Him I freely give. And as we surrender to Him, then in that surrendering He begins to pour into us Himself, His life, His supply, His power, His blessings, His love. And that then through you and I we can touch generations. We can touch many lives for Christ.
Amen.
And we see Jesus here, He's even at a 12-year-old, He's teaching those who had gone through the universities, gone through the school of prophets, and yet this 12-year-old boy is teaching them the things of God. Glory to Jesus. Come on. You can do it. To be like Jesus. To be like Jesus. And to teach the Word of God. And my desire is to see you equipped. My passion is to see you equipped because I'm fulfilling the Word of God. To see you moving in the power of the Spirit. To see you praying for the sick and the sick being healed. To see blind eyes being opened, deaf ears unstopped. Oh, I don't believe in that. Well, it's in the Bible. This is what Jesus did. And we are to do as Jesus. We are to be like Jesus. We are to be the Jesus to these people outside. The only way they will find Jesus is when they see Jesus in you and me. It's the only way. Some of you might be saying, well, I've never heard this before. Didn't realize that's what I got to do. I thought I just had to come to church, put my hand up and attend every Sunday and that was okay. No. It's 24/7. 365 days a year, and when you get a leap year, 366. You don't get a day off. I love it when I hear folks saying, I'm going on sabbatical. I've been in ministry for over 40 years. I've never had a sabbatical yet. Thanks, dear. I mean, I saw a few weeks ago that, you know, what's his name? I forgot his name now. He's gone on sabbatical. The Archbishop of Canterbury. Carey, is it? No, not Carey. He was the last one. The one that's just... I forgot his name anyway. Justin Welby. He suddenly said he's going on sabbatical. Hang on. He's the head of the Church of England. There's a crisis in our nation. And he's taking 3 months off. Hello? No. God hasn't just simply turned around and said, well, I'm having a couple of months off. Is that be all right? God, will we be in a state? The Word tells us God never slumbers nor sleeps. And I know He don't, because He's woke me up at 2 o'clock in the morning wanting to talk to me. I'm like, hey God, I need to sleep. He says, yeah, but I need to talk to you. Because you won't sit still and listen during the daytime, so I need to talk to you while you're in bed. Oh, okay God, you know. I had a few nights like that, in fact, for a few weeks in fact, where the Spirit will be waking me and talking to me, and I'm thinking, wow. And I could feel a very presence in the room of God. God's not finished with you yet.
No way.
He's just getting started. So begin to get ourselves ready. So we need to teach. We need to build you up in the Word of God. Verse 49, and he said to them, "Why is it that you were looking for me? Did you not know that I had to be about my Father's house business?" And they did not understand the statement which he had made to them. And he went down with them and came to Nazareth, and he continued in subjection to them. Wow. He knew who he was. He knew his calling on his life. But yet, he remained subject to his earthly parents, who had been given the responsibility to care for him. In the same way, you know, God has given you to us that we might care for you. The spiritual parents to guide, to encourage, to see you equipped for works of service in the kingdom of God. In us doing that, it also will advance us also. Hallelujah. We're in a growing and learning process ourselves constantly. And so, to some degree, we're guardians to you. As Mary and Joseph were guardians to Jesus, we're guardians to you. Not I'm saying that we're better than you, that's not what I mean. But we're here because we love you. We're here because we want to see your purposes fulfilled. We're here because God has called us. And God will continue to equip us. In verse 52 it says, "And Jesus kept increasing in wisdom and stature, and in favor with God and men." Hallelujah. You know, God wants you to increase in stature. He wants you to grow spiritually. He wants your faith to grow. And you have the favor of God on your life. And God will give you favor with men and women around you, because this is what happened with Jesus. Let's turn to, just continue to Luke chapter 3 and verse 8. Luke chapter 3 and verse 8. "Therefore bring forth fruits in keeping with repentance, and do not begin to say to yourselves, 'We have Abraham's for our father,' for I say to you that God is able from those stones to raise up children to Abraham."
Amen.
This is John the Baptist.
Yeah.
This is where he's gone before the Lord. He's that man who's, as we know, he's called preparing the way.
Amen.
Of the Lord. And he's making statements to people right now. He's been baptizing them, and we know that as he's making these statements, Jesus will be appearing on the scene. But as I read this, as I was reading through, and I stopped at this one, it says, "Therefore bring fruits in keeping with repentance." Bring fruits. You know, we are told we're to be rooted and grounded and fixed in God. Yeah? So often people are focusing on their roots, getting their roots deep into the Word of God. But they forget that they need to bring forth fruit. You see, the world wants to take your fruit. And when it takes your fruit, it will take the seed of the Word. Tomato, for instance, it's full of seeds, isn't it? You bite the tomato and you receive the seeds. Now, if I came up to somebody and said, "I've got something to offer you. In one hand I have a tomato, a nice, plump, juicy tomato, sweet. In the other hand, I have a pack of tomato seeds." and they say to you, which would you like to eat? Who's going to take the seeds? Nobody. I don't want to chew dried seeds. Those are the roots, in one sense, of the life. You all take the fruit, don't you? And today the world wants to see fruit in you and me. The world wants to be able to eat of that fruit that we have produced through the Spirit of God in our lives. And so we have to be fruit producers, not root producers. I know we need to have roots, but if we're constantly concentrating on roots and roots and there's no fruit, then we're not fulfilling what God has called us to do. And John the Baptist here is saying to the Jewish people, he said, bring forth fruits of repentance. You know, when we repent and turn to Jesus, when the Spirit of God comes into us, He begins to bring the fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, patience, long-suffering. Right? Those are the fruits of the Spirit that begin to move into people's lives. And we touch people's lives in that way. And I love what I read here today when he said, bring fruits of repentance and begin, and do not begin to say to yourselves, we're Abraham's children, we don't need to do it. You know, this is the attitude that was there at the time. We're Abraham's children, we've got a right. No, they haven't. You can, just because you're in a family, if you're not doing the right things by the family, you can be cut off. It says in the word in John's Gospel where John says, and the Father is the, we're the vine. And the Father is the vine dresser. Just because you're attached to the rootstock, if you're not bringing fruit, He's going to cut you off and cast you into the fire. Because you're a worthless branch. Jesus wants us to grow up and produce. That's what we're here for. And John is saying to these Jewish people who are so puffed up and full of pride, and they're saying, we're of Abraham. We're all right. Don't matter what we do, it's okay. Well, it does. It does matter. And when he turns to them and says, for I say to you that God is able to raise up from these stones children to Abraham. What does he mean when he says these stones? What do you see when he says that? Are you thinking about stones on the ground? Are you thinking that he can just, from a stone, a boulder here and a boulder there, raise up a child to God? No, he's not. He's referring to the Gentiles. He's referring to these stony-hearted people. He's referring to the Gentiles. He says, God is able to raise up from these Gentiles, these stones, children to Abraham, children of faith, children of the Spirit of God that have been prophesied to Abraham all those years before. God said to him, look at the stars. Count the sand. That's what your family's going to be like. Seed of faith. Children of faith. Children born of the Spirit. Children born of God. To do the work of the kingdom of God. Galatians chapter 3 and verse 29 says, if Christ is in you, you are the seed. You are Abraham's seed according to the promise.
Amen.
God made a promise to Abraham. God keeps His promise. Praise God. And if God's made promises to you, He'll keep His promise. But just get in line. Get into the Word. Get into His presence. Grow up. Grow up. Grow up in the Spirit and let God empower you. Let God fill you. Let God use you for His praise and for His glory, and you will enjoy life in a new depth, a new dimension, with a new plan and a new purpose. And if you say, well, I don't really remember if God's got anything for me, well, guess what? Stick around. Because God is going to reveal things to you in these next few weeks for His praise and for His glory, to give you a purpose, to give you a hope, to give you a future. Grow up in the Spirit of God. Grow up in Christ Jesus. Let the Word be that fertilizer that fertilizes faith and causes you to arise and to be that strong, mighty tree in God. Amen. The Lord bless you.